Good morning to each one, and greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to see everyone out gathered this morning. We're missing a few, but I trust they're being a blessing where they're at today. Let's open this with a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for another day to rise and to serve you, Lord. I thank you that you have ordained that once a week we would gather like this in this manner, to open up your word and be encouraged, strengthened, challenged. And I pray, Lord, that this morning that you bless the words that I have to speak as well as the rest of the service here today. I pray, God, that you would help us to keep our faces turned towards you, and we anticipate your arrival, Lord, to when that day comes, when you come to take your bride away to be with you. Father, I pray that you'd help us to keep our lamps trimmed and burning and oil in our vessels. We ask this all in Jesus' name, amen. I want to say welcome to you as visitors, anyone that's out here visiting today. We're glad to have you. The title for this morning's devotional is God's Love is for Us. And as I was thinking about what to share this morning, I thought this is has been an inspiration for me through the years. I know that from the time I first got saved, when I was 13, going forwards in my Christian life and the journey God had me on, I didn't really recognize what God's love is and was towards me and for me until I think it was like 5 years later, something like that, where it was a realization that God loves me. And anyway, so I hope that this morning, this devotional will be an encouragement, an inspiration. If you're challenged by it, that's great, but the goal here is to inspire. So we're looking at God's agape love, and that love speaks of sacrifice. It's a love that unites and heals, and it is it's the decision to love, not so much as much the feeling of love, even when the feelings aren't there. The decision to love. And this love is characterized and beautifully portrayed, of course, by Jesus. And he showed us many examples of how to love in the Bible here. So just to start, I want to just look at the characteristics of God's love and the beauty of God's love. So I got a lot of Bible verses here I'm going to turn to. If you want, you can follow along. But either way, Psalm 63 Verse 3. Just looking at the beauty of God's love this morning, Psalm 63:3 says, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." God's loving kindness is better than life itself. Jeremiah 31:3. Speaks of God's everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3. "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Proverbs 3:11. Proverbs 3:11-12. "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father in even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth." God's love is a disciplining love. when we stray and we begin to stray from Him, He disciplines us to bring us back to Himself. Lamentations 3:22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. It is God's mercies, or God's love, that we're not consumed. Lamentations 32 and 33 as well. 3:32. But though He cause grief, yet will He have compassion according to the multitude of His mercies, for He doth not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men. Some of the translations, I believe, has that word mercies as love. He has compassions according to the multitude of His mercies, His love. Now, I want to just take a quick look at God's love as sacrificial. We're talking about this agape love. We don't even need to turn to John 3:16. We know by heart that God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son, and provides a way that whoever believes in Him doesn't have to perish but can have eternal life. Romans 5:8 is another one that speaks of God's sacrificial love. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, there's a lot of more verses that could speak on the sacrificial love of God, but for the sake of time, we'll keep moving on and look at God's love as being magnetic. And I had to think about how a magnet works. You have two magnets, and they, you know, if they're positioned right, they'll come together with ease. And you could say one is drawing close to the other one, but at the same time, the other one is just as much coming together. And it's hard to keep them apart, especially if you have a really strong magnetic. But of course, you know, if you put something in between it, it becomes less and less strong, and the strength of that weakens. And I have to think that is God's love drawing Himself towards us, and how that if we draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to us. But if there's things in our life that gets in between that, that'll weaken that pull. And so just thinking about how God's love is magnetic, James 4:8. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So if we draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to us. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. So this love constrains us. And then yet John 16:27. John chapter 16, verse 27, for the Father Himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. So we see here Christ's love for us and our love for Him. That should be our response. And this love coming together. There's three points yet I'd like to make in God's love, and I'm sure there's many other points you could bring in here, but three specifically, and that is God's plan for His love, and His place for His love, and also the power of His love. So just thinking about the plan of God's love, and I had to think, you know, ever since the beginning when Adam and Eve sinned, you know, that kind of initiated the first need. I mean, we need to love beyond that, but there was all of a sudden mankind fell away, and we were separated from, not from God's love, but from His presence. They were kicked out of the garden, and ever since then, mankind has been in this turmoil of sin, and sin it brings bondage, and so on and so forth. I had to think, why did God, you know, have the children of Israel? Why did He even create a chosen people with, like, creating the children of Israel and bringing up that nation? You know, why didn't He just send Jesus to this earth a lot sooner than that? And although I don't fully know why, but I believe that part of that plan was that we would see and recognize our utter depravity without Him, that we are nothing without Him, and to give us an example and show us that that as humankind, as mankind, that we are weak and incomplete, and we're not able to hold up our end of the deal. We see that through His covenant with the children of Israel, and His covenant of love that He makes with them, and how they just are not able to hold up their end of the deal in that covenant. So just thinking about that, thinking of God's plan for His, what is God's plan in His loving us? And I had to think that I believe that God really desires a committed relationship. And that is the essence and the heart of God for His love. That He truly desires this morning that each one of us would have a committed relationship with Him. And just looking at a few verses speaking towards that, beginning with His love making us alive again, we'll look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 5. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." I'll stop there. God's, because of His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were still dead in sins, He quickens us together. We have no power on our own. I think it was, now forgetting who said it, might have been A.W. Tozer, that if you feel God's call upon your life, let's say you're going throughout the day and you feel the desire or that pull to go read the Word of God, that is God's call of love to you. That is something that you can't bring upon yourself, but He's in mercy, in love, He's calling us to Himself. And if we respond, He will continue to draw nigh. His love makes us His children. 1 John 3:1. That is very exciting. Let's turn to that. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." We are called the sons of God through His love that is bestowed upon us. That is very exciting to think about. Let's stay here in 1 John. Let's turn to chapter 4. John 4, verse 9. Actually, let's start at 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. I'll stop there. It is this God's love that is manifested in us that creates a love for our brethren. And this is a the evidence of the Holy Spirit. I guess one of the evidences of the Holy Spirit abiding in a person's life is the love that he has for his brothers and his sisters. And jumping down to verse 16 here. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. But just looking here in these verses of God's love, towards us and the sacrifice that he gave for us. And the plan is not that we would love him, the plan is not that we had loved him first, but that he first loved us. And this call to love each other. Just going on now to the place of God's love and where that should be. And that should be fairly easy to guess where that place of love should abide. But before we look at those verses, I just want to turn to Zephaniah 3:17. Zephaniah 3:17. I thought this was interesting. I said, surely thou wilt fear me. Thou wilt receive instruction. Their dwelling should not be cut off. I'm reading 7, not 17. Zephaniah 3, verse 17. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. He rests in his own love. And that love, if God is resting in his own love, it's a place of rest. And it's a place of rest that we could rest in. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Thinking of the place of God's love. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the love of God there comes from the Holy Ghost, and it is shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God doesn't just fill one little area of our hearts. It fills our whole heart. So that speaks of God's love in our hearts. Now, 2 Thessalonians 3:5 kind of has the reverse effect there. It speaks of our hearts in God's love. Second Thessalonians 3:5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And Jude 1:21. Let's look at that yet. Right before Revelations here. Jude chapter 1, verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And John chapter 15, verse 9 through 10. John 15, 9 through 10. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So there's a responsibility that we have there to keep his commandments and to abide in his love. So yet, let's look at the power of God's love yet. Let's turn to, we already read this, but maybe let's not turn to it, but 1 John 4:18 speaks of God's love driving out fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. The power of love that makes us children of God, we already looked at that as well. But that is an amazing power of God's love. Let's turn to Romans 8:37. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a long list there. Of all these things that is not going to separate us from Christ's love. The only thing that can separate us from Christ's love is ourselves. And if we walk away from his love, no matter what happens here on this earth, no one and nothing can separate us from his love. And that's a comfort to think about just in when you think about all the turmoil that's going on with these wars and so on. And I had to think, you know, if that would ever come to Pennsylvania, which it very well may someday, may we reflect on verses like these and be encouraged to think about the love of Christ that is binding and that we can abide in his love. And as we abide, nothing is able to separate us from it. Let's also look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. We'll close with this reference. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. This is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. I'm pretty sure Paul would have prayed the same prayer for us if he was here today, I trust. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. As Paul's praying here, he's asking for the Ephesians to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Seems a little redundant in a way, but as we look into the love of Christ and as we experience it, as we go through life, it does pass knowledge. You can't explain it. It's unexplainable. And it also here mentions that we would be rooted and grounded in love. So that's my prayer for us this morning, that we would both find ourselves abiding in Christ's love and also continue to draw closer to his love. Like I said, there was a time in my Christian life where I realized that God loves us, and it was hard for me to imagine that. I think partly because of growing up without a dad in the home for quite a few years, and the times that he was in the home, it wasn't that he was a real loving father. And I know those things shape our view of our Heavenly Father. But I remember when I realized how much God loves us and how much he doesn't look at our past failure and is keeping a big score sheet to someday bring it back in our face and charge us against it. We will be judged. But just that when God forgives us, he forgives us. And he casts it away. And that's something to always remember. So my encouragement for us this morning is to let's remain in Christ's love. And let us continue to draw closer to his love. God bless you.